Today is April 20th, 2016, and this is episode number 356 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, your vocal warming coach. To get the full story on anything we cover in this. How do I sound? Does that sound good?
Yeah. You know, it's like the milkshake in the yard.
There's some large white birds flying my way. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show or sign up for my vocal warming
classes. It's a 12-week program available yeah. online.
Yeah, and at the end, you'll be able to go, shoot us a note at ACM.
I'm on week 10.
Shoot us a note at ACM at MacObserver.com.
Should I just play the outgoing bumper and we end right now?
I don't, you know, why people let us play the intro bumper is really beyond me.
You know, I think for some people, it's one of those things where they're thinking, you know, if we let them do this, we won't have to deal with bigger problems. We'll just humor them.
Yeah, just humor them. Just humor them. I'm almost ready to go with the show. Just a couple more of these. Okay, all right, I'm good. I want to visit the world where that is someone actually trying to warm their vocals up. Their
vocal cords. You know, in that world, what I visualize is you're doing this, preparing for your big concert.
When you sing the songs,
and then as soon as you're done with the concert, you have to skip out and head over to the gallery where they're having the big opening of your drawing collection.
Oh yeah, that's just a nightmare world, man.
Oh, but it'd be so much fun.
That's a nightmare world. I'm pretty sure in one or both of those presentations, I would have to be naked, making it a nightmare for you too. So, in the meanwhile, Apple Pencil.
That's like the best segue.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you have an Apple Pencil now.
I do have an Apple Pencil now. Goes with the iPad Pro. I actually got the Apple Pencil before I got the iPad Pro for, you know. That's how that works.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear you complain about it, because the rest of us, we got our iPads and had to wait weeks before we got our Apple Pencils.
That's true. But you have the nice big iPad Pro, which I don't want. I have the other iPad Pro.
Yeah, I have the Pro 12. You have the Pro 9.
I have the iPad Pro parentheses 9.7 inches closed parentheses, because that's the name of it.
Pro 9.
I should have actually gotten my Apple Pencil out before we started recording this. But here's the deal.
You were busy with your voice.
Right. Here's why we're talking about this. You had a friend ping you about replacement caps.
Right. They lost the cap for their Apple Pencil. And we're pretty bummed about that. I totally get that. And wanted to know if I had any suggestions on places where you could get replacement caps. My suggestion was pop into the Genius Bar, ask them if they have any spares sitting around.
And my reaction to this is, I can't believe Apple shipped this device with a cap.
It does seem kind of weird.
It's uncharacteristically sloppy. And This is actually the first time where I have been, I don't want to say, well, confident, I suppose, that Steve Jobs would not have been okay with this.
Yeah, the cap seems to be the first thing people lose.
Right. But you kind of need the cap to protect the end.
You know, they could have. I say this because I'm clearly a mechanical engineer in all my spare time, but they could have designed the lightning connector so that it would slide down inside the body when you're not using it and then slide out when you need to plug in.
Yeah, that's, of course, a part that can and will break You know, that's going to end up being a weak part. And not only that, but you've also got the wires on the inside that now are going to be moving, right? So that becomes a weak point too. And but solutions aside, because our job is not necessarily to provide solutions. Our job is to poke and prod and complain sometimes. Here's what makes me tense about the cap. One of the things that Steve Jobs was on about when it came to styluses, and the reason why we don't need a stylus to use our device, is because you can lose the stylus. Right? I mean, do you remember for the palm devices? I remember you could buy 5 packs of styluses.
And I did.
I did too. More than one. Because you lose them.
Yep.
That's what you do with a stylus. You lose it. And, you know, and it's one of the reasons why I think it's the Samsung Galaxy Note phablet has a silo for the stylus that comes with it built into the Note itself.
Right. And if you stick it in backwards, you're screwed.
Excellent. But we won't go into that part. But I mean, the whole point of a stylus and the whole point about why Steve Jobs was adamant that you not need a stylus to use the iPad or the iPhone was because you lose them. So now Apple ships what I would not I would call, which I do think is the best stylus that's ever been made.
It is my favorite stylus. And that's saying a lot because I have a short list of styluses that I think are really fantastic.
But there are some great styluses out there, and it's not so much how great the Apple Pencil is. Of course, the corresponding part of that is how the Apple Pencil works with iPad Pro, parenthetical 12.9-inch, close parenthetical, and as well as parenthetical 9.7-inch, close parenthetical.
Pro 9, Pro 12.
It's the software side of things, right? There are things that the Apple Pencil does that no other stylus does because of the software within iOS.
Sure. And yeah, and that's a big thing about all of the styluses that are my favorites. It's the hardware and the software working together that make them such great products.
And then of course you've got stuff that Apple did with the display itself to enable their stylus to do stuff.
True.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the Apple Pencil is so great. But the Apple Pencil as a whole is the best stylus that's ever been made. So I'm not bagging on the Apple Pencil, and I'm delighted that the Apple Pencil. I'm also not supporting Steve Jobs' absolute hatred of styluses.
Well, that served his purpose in that moment.
Okay, we're going to get back to that.
Okay.
You know, Steve would joke, not even joke, he would sort of like snark, you got 10 styluses at the end of your fingers. And I'm going to snark right back and say, tell that to Picasso. You know, why didn't Picasso do finger paintings?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, styluses have survived thousands of years of use, including their pencil and pen and
brush
and brush, you know, descendants, right? These things have survived because they're useful. This is not some sort of, you know, this is not like a tie, you know, ties serve no purpose, but we like ties.
Well, some people do,
right?
But yes.
We as a culture, as a Western culture, tend to like ties. But, you know, ties were originally designed to hold your collar shirt. Now we have buttons that do that, right? So we don't need ties, but we still use ties. But styluses and their descendants serve a very, very useful purpose, not only for writing, but for drawing and designing and doing CAD work and drawing straight lines even. I mean, you know, it always made me tense when Steve Jobs would say you don't need a stylus, even while I supported the notion that you shouldn't need a stylus to use the device. There's two separate things there. You shouldn't need the stylus. I agree with that. But to say that therefore we don't need styluses, I disagree with.
Well, Steve was kind of an absolutes sort of person.
Yeah, absolute.
Yes. And when he said we don't need a stylus, we already have 10 on the ends of our hands. Most people do. Some people a few less. Some people a couple more. The point is that he was talking about the iPhone because the iPad did not exist yet, and a stylus in that context was nothing more than a pointing device.
Yeah, but he maintained that line after the iPad came out.
Of course, yes.
And what really made me tense is when Apple pulled styluses out of the Apple Store.
That really disappointed me.
That was cutting off their nose to spite their face, I thought.
Yeah, and my assumption is that directive came right from Steve.
I feel that way too. Either that or it was someone trying to maybe interpret something. But I always felt that came from Steve too. No evidence of that. Just, you know.
What? Just our Jedi instincts.
Yeah. Circumstantial evidence. And so now we come to, you know, and I also back up. A big part of Steve's stance on this is that you lose styluses. He said that specifically. I don't remember the exact time. I think it was an interview. But it may have been at a Macworld presentation. But I think it was actually an interview, and he basically said, you know, he briefly talked about the fact that you lose styluses. It's the first thing that happens when you've got a stylus with tablet devices in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so now cut to today. Now, first of all, Steve also told Tim, don't worry about what I would do. He said, it's incredibly important that you not worry about what I do. Do what you think is best. I love that. I absolutely love that. And so cut to today, we've got the most advanced stylus, the most capable stylus that's ever been released. It's ever been, you know, that's existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a cap that you lose. It's the first thing you do that you lose it.
You know, I'm surprised that the text that I got today was the first where someone shot me a message and said, I lost the cap. I assumed I would be getting those within days of people getting their Apple Pencils.
I happen to know that my cap right now is separated from my pencil, and I'm not even sure where my pencil is. to Steve's original point.
You're like the poster child.
I totally am. But I it's not lost. I mean, if I'd spent 5 minutes, you know, before the show looking for it, I would have had it in my hand to fiddle with as we were talking about it.
You know, the piece that I can't find?
What?
It's not technically lost because it would just take probably like 10 minutes for me to find exactly where it is. It's that little adapter so that you can plug the pencil into a lightning cable.
Hmm.
It's in the box because I didn't want to get rid of the box. It was because it's so much bigger and I figured that would be harder to lose. I'm not sure where the box is. I think it's in my closet.
Yeah, you can find the box. Yeah. See, but like, why not make the cap? Because you're not going to. Well, I guess it does. It seems to me that you're not going to be using the Apple Pencil with the lightning end plugged into anything. So why not allow the cap to go on either end?
Oh, that's a really smart idea.
But you can't. I was shocked when I pulled it off and I tried to put it over the tip and I couldn't.
Yeah, flat versus round.
Well, no, it's not the flat versus round. It doesn't fit over it.
Why no? It's look inside the cap. Oh,
yeah.
You don't know where your cap is right now.
I do. No. But I did. And I understand what you're saying. The end of it, as it's constructed right now, has a female lightning shape.
Right.
So, you know, it sticks into place. Well, something different could have been done with that. Something different could have been done with that so that the cap can go on the end to protect the end when you've got the darn thing plugged in. And don't even get me started about the idea you're supposed to plug it in by having it stick out the end of your into your iPad Pro. That's just ridiculous.
That has been an ongoing issue for me.
That's absolutely ridiculous, because it is only a matter of time before it your iPad drops. Or you hit the sitting on the over the end of your desk or your table or something, and you end up snapping it off.
Yeah, I'm totally expecting a day when I break the pencil because it's plugged in charging, and my assumption is when it happens, it's actually going to break the connector off, leave it inside my iPad. And then I'm doubly hosed.
Then you're doubly hosed. Oh, yeah. Totally. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, you're doubly hosed. By the way, I like some of the accessories that have already come out that allow you to that acts as a stand for your pencil.
Yeah.
So that you're charging. Right? You're charging. It's standing up while it's charging.
I need to just break down and get one of those.
Yeah, I do too. My desk is so messy. It might be a bit pointless for me, but yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing. Here's what Steve was so good at. Steve was so good at that final tiny percentage that even the best people miss. That last, I don't know, I've heard people call it the last 5%, but sometimes I think it's more like the last 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And the Apple Pencil is one of those things where I think the last 0.5 or the last 5% are things that Steve would have seen. And that's charging at the end of your iPad is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And you need some kind of third party accessory to not need to do that.
Right.
Or that's not true, because it does come with the female to female adapter, right?
Well, I thought you meant like a more permanent thing.
Yeah, for more, but there is something in the box that allows you to just use to put it at the end of a cable. To be fair, there is something out of the box that does that. But even still, that's another little piece you can lose.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I may end up just going out and buying another Lightning cable, so that I can put that little piece on the end and leave it plugged into a USB port all the time.
Can we rabbit hole for a second?
Rabbit away.
Are you a buy lots of cheap Lightning cables so that when they break, you just throw it away person, or I'm going to buy a Lightning cable that's going to last?
I buy the Lightning cables that are going to last.
I do too. And I bought on our deal site, this is kind of pimpature. I bought on our deal site one of the tough ones. I think RadTech is sending me one of their tough ones too.
I've been using one of the RadTechs in my car for a few months now, just to see how it would hold up. And I'm so pleased with it. Spoiler, I'm really pleased with it. I'm going to have to write a review about it.
Oh, that's good. Please do.
Yeah, I have another one I've been playing with that I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's actually like a metal body.
Like a gooseneck one.
And what I did after I played around with it a little bit, I thought, I need to see what this thing can really do. So I handed it off to the 13-year-old boy and said, here, use this. And it's the first cable that's been in his world for more than like 6 weeks that has stayed intact.
It looks like the one that I bought from our deal site is no longer available.
Oh, that's too bad.
But we do have a gooseneck one. I'll stick the link in the show notes. But we have a gooseneck one. It looks like it's about 12 inches long, 18 inches long. And it's strong enough to actually hold up an iPhone if you wanted to. To coil it that way.
Yeah, the one that that I've been playing with and then hand it off to see what it can really hold up to, the company says you could tie it in a knot and tow a car with it. Which is crazy.
Probably shouldn't do that, though.
I wouldn't recommend it unless you need to charge your car through USB at the same time.
Yeah, fair enough. So let me... Heavy-duty lightning cable. Yeah, so the I'm looking at the Radtech one. We'll have a link to that in the show notes, too. So it looks like their 18-inch one is $1,295. Which one have you been testing?
It's the longer one.
3 meters or 6 feet? It's probably 6 feet.
It's probably the 6 feet.
Yeah, that one's only $1,695. And it's cloth-wrapped. Anyway, I like the cables that last. That's my point. I don't like the guy. No, Apple's cable, I go through, especially with the darned lightning port on the bottom, so that if I'm using my iPad, like if I'm playing a game or something and I'm using my iPad and I've got it plugged in, I'm just, you know, breaking the darn cable.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that. Super annoying.
I think this is a totally relevant rabbit hole.
It is sort of a relevant rabbit hole. It's sort of a relevant rabbit hole.
You know,
but but this is one of those things. So what were you going to say?
Just that if I can find the name of the other cable that I've been testing, I'll make sure we have that for the show notes.
Got it. And one way or another, we'll have the one that we have a deal on. It's only $13.99.
Awesome.
We'll have that in the show notes. Don't have a deal on the Radtech one. We just he's been testing it, and I've been looking forward to testing it. So in the meanwhile, back to the Apple Pencil. It is amazing, and Apple has put so much technology, the kind of technology that I don't really think anybody can come close to competing with Apple on. But there's some of those final 5% things that are sloppy, and the cap is one of them. The fact that the way you're supposed to plug it in to charge is another one. And the need for an accessory that you can also lose is another one. And it's a bit annoying.
It is. And especially so because this is the single best stylus I've ever used.
Exactly. And I don't also, we'll close this out with this. I don't think that Steve would have, you were making a point earlier about how Steve's stance on styluses was convenient for the time.
Yes.
And I agree with that. I think it was a little bit more to that because his real point was that you shouldn't need a stylus to use your thing. Right. He's sort of being dogmatic about it. But that underlying principle about being adamant that you never need a stylus to use the device. I mean, that's a brilliant philosophy. But I also believe that when Apple, that he would have supported the release of a stylus that makes sense. And he would have come out with you know, he would have come out saying things like, you know, styluses suck, but it turns out we've solved those problems. That's what he always did.
Right.
And I'm confident that Steve Jobs, if he had not passed away and he was CEO of Apple, that we would have something similar to the Apple Pencil. I just think that final 5% would be there too.
I agree. And okay, here's the thing that makes that final 5% even more frustrating for me. Mm-hmm. When you set your Apple Pencil down on a flat surface and it rolls to stop.
Yeah.
It stops so that the Apple logo is facing up. They paid attention to that detail.
Yeah. And that's cool. That's actually really cool.
It is really cool.
And it's the kind of thing that very few people will ever notice.
But then we have the cap.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we have the cap. And you need the cap, too. That's the thing. It'd be one thing if you just really didn't need the cap, but if you need the cap, you need to have it on the end of your pencil.
Yeah, you do. I bet, because I use my Apple Pencil a lot more than you, I might be able to give you some pointers on what will make you use yours even more.
Well, one of the things you teased me with before the show, like the evil man you are, was I said that I would like to. So when I go out and I do an interview with somebody, if I'm going to, you know, something like Pepcom or back when Macworld was still around, and I'm going to meet with vendors, something like CES, and I'm going to meet with vendors, I'm generally speaking writing in a notebook.
Sure.
And it's not because I'm an old school reporter, because I'm not an old school reporter. And it's not because I prefer writing to typing. I don't. I prefer typing. But typing on a laptop is seldom convenient and often impossible when you're doing it, when you're meeting with somebody. And at least it is for me, for whatever reason. And while I'm quite comfortable typing on my iPhone or an iPad, the reality is that I need to look down too much. And I like to look at the people that I'm talking to. A little, you know, funny thing like that. You know, I actually like to
interact with people.
Yeah, I like to interact with people, and because, you know, body English tells me so much about people and about their message. You know, and plus they may be showing me something, and I don't want to be looking down at my device. It's just not, it's rude and it's inefficient, both. So I usually write. What I would happily do is at the very least try writing by hand with my Apple Pencil in my iPad, so that I didn't have to look down at it. And the thing is, you can't do that out of the box.
Oh, right, can you? But you can.
Out of the box?
Right out of the box.
Does Apple have Inkwell in iOS and I just didn't know?
Well, okay. What you can do is write, but it doesn't convert to handwriting. And
I absolutely have to convert to handwriting.
All right. Well, all the apps that I've been using are doing the whole thing where it just stays as handwriting. But you can, so if you sacrifice the handwriting to text, the notes app lets you do that.
Sure. Got to have it convert. Otherwise there's no point in me doing it. I need those notes. I need to be able to copy paste for quotes and things like that.
Right. You know, I haven't tried it. The Evernote app may do what you need.
I thought you were teasing me with something that would.
Well, I was teasing you with the apps that I use for note taking, but I was missing the one key element. You want handwriting to text conversion.
Well, it's not like I can read my handwriting.
And do you think a computer is going to be able to do any better?
That's beside the point. Scanner. Yeah, I wondered. All right, readers, tell us.
What are you using to do handwriting to text conversion? The app that I do most of my note taking in, and everything stays as handwritten notes in there, is Notability. And I absolutely love using Notability. It's for me, it's been a great tool for note taking in whatever situation I'm in, whether I'm at like a meeting or I'm in a class, I'm at a conference, I'm doing an interview. I can sit there and actually write and be much faster than I would be if I were typing. And I take away that barrier that would be between me and whoever I'm talking to.
Right. Man, I really thought that you were going to have the answer for me.
Well, I had the answer for what I thought your question was. And I was really pleased with myself for that.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing, Belle.
Oh, sorry.
Huh. But, you know, here's the crappy thing about that. Apple owns the technology to do it. It's called Inkwell. Inkwell is like the one thing out of Newton OS. Actually, I think there's more things from Newton OS that Apple ended up using. But Inkwell came from the Newton's handwriting. And it was introduced in OS 10 back, I think, in what, 10.2?
Mm-hmm.
Like real early version of OS 10.
Brian, I think I remember... try Notes Plus. I forgot all about that app. I think Notes Plus does it.
Is that plus sign or PLUS?
PLUS. It's an app that I messed around with a while ago, and it just popped in my mind. I think that's what you're looking for.
Notes Plus, 30% selected. Stop advertising and tell me what you do. Notes Plus is a powerful note-taking tool that has enabled many people to go completely paperless. Notes Plus stands apart. It's one of the few feature, blah, 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 since 2010, blah, blah, blah. What does it do? Benefits outstanding handwriting experience with razor-sharp ink effects, palm rejection, and close-up writing mode for fine writing. Experience all this for yourself.
Let's see. All right, I just did a search. Converting
handwriting to text. Boom.
There you go.
Notes Plus, $6.99. I will absolutely, I'm going to actually buy that right now.
You know what?
As I'm typing in my password.
I just did Touch ID.
I'm on my Mac.
Yeah, well, I'm on my iPad. So Notes Plus is reinstalling right now.
Yeah,
so,
I just
so I must have had an old version because I had to buy it.
All right, that's exciting.
There you go. So
can't,
Notes
can't,
Plus.
Can't wait to try it out. I can't wait to try it out. Can't wait to try it out.
Yeah, Notes Plus is an app that's been around for a while and has a really good reputation. And I can't believe that I had totally spaced it out.
Well, it's not like we had talked about this beforehand, where you could possibly be armed with the knowledge that we might need to know this, except, of course, that we did.
Well, okay. But here's the deal. Even with me misunderstanding what it was that you wanted, I was still able to pull out of the depths of my brain the app that you needed on the fly. You're welcome.
That's true. Yeah, fair enough. All right. You're kind of a badass.
Yeah, I kind of am.
All right. Well, I think we have beaten this largely to death.
All right. But still, I am leaving that question out there that you tossed out to our listeners.
Yeah.
What apps are you using for handwriting recognition on the iPad that you really like? Because if there's other apps that we should be trying out, let us know.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. Absolutely. Please do that. Now, something else you might want to know is that I have a blog.
No.
Yeah. GeekTels.com. GeekTels.com. It's my Instagram handle, too, for what's up.
That sounds really intriguing. This sounds like something I'd love to read. Tell me more, Brian.
This message brought to you by Straight Man. Straight Man, keeping it real. let's see. I talk about things that are not pertinent to the Apple world at GeekTales, including my fiction writing and including my love of coffee and topics that are not pertinent to the Mac Observer. And I'd love it if you came and subscribed to get some email notifications when I when I get around to putting up a new update.
And totally go and subscribe, because when Brian posts something new and you get that little message that says, hey, there's a new thing, it's like a fun little present just out of the blue.
Now, here's the funny thing. I got on you for literally years to get an email subscription engine for your blog at Fresh Brewed Tales, T-A-L-E-S.
And I did.
And you finally did, but it took me years, because I definitely like getting the way easier than having to proactively, you know, like, you know, muck about with like an RSS reader.
Yeah.
your mileage may vary on that.
It may. Did you see, I've been so busy with everything else that we need to cover. I just haven't had time to write much for Fresh Brewed Tales lately, but I did put something up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you did.
And I have notes for a couple others. So hopefully I'll be able to find a window of time in the next week or so that I can get something else up too.
Excellent. Excellent. So you can, yeah, we, you know, if you actually find this interesting, you'll probably want to check out our blogs and then maybe make an appointment with your doctor.
That's
could
right.
Be gas. It just could be gas is all.
It could be. But if it lasts longer than 4 hours, you really should call a doctor. But first, call your friends.
Goodness gracious. All right, let's see. Let's quickly change topics.
Do you want to talk about gold? or pop music? Because everybody's talking about pop music.
Let's talk about gold.
All right, we can talk about gold.
Though I do appreciate your Q reference.
Thank you.
Yep. Gold. So it turns out that Apple is making its recycling a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the company's annual environmental report, what's it called?
Apple's environmental report.
No, it's isn't it transparency? Like transparency. Did I not include a link? Oh my goodness! Huh. What a hack I am. That's okay. I linked to the Huffington Post, and I think that they were actually. Yeah, I didn't actually link to the darn report. Oh my goodness! What a hack I am. It's called the Environmental Responsibility Report. There we go. It talks all about Apple's environmental stuff. You know, the how much of their energy is comes from renewable sources, all the stuff they're doing with water,
mm-hmm.
all the stuff they're doing with waste products, all the, you know, hazardous stuff that they're working on. One of the things that they mentioned is they mentioned Liam. Do you remember Liam?
I do remember Liam, the awesome robot that has this uncontrollable urge to rip apart iPhones.
Yes. It is a robot that Apple has developed. And that's probably a topic for another day. I know John, that's something that John's on about, John mm-hmm. Martellaro. Mm-hmm. But this robot's sole purpose is to rip apart iPhones. And it rips apart these iPhones in such a way as to recover recyclable materials.
I want to name one of my iPhones Johnny 5 and give it to Liam. Kids, if you don't understand that, go ask your parents.
That's right. You could do that by simply turning in an old... You could name an iPhone Johnny 5 and then turn it into Apple at some point.
Right.
Of course, they may sell it too. But eventually, it has a significant chance of getting back to Liam. So anyway, Apple has prototypes of Liam deployed in the Netherlands and deployed in U.S. They also have broader take-back programs, as they call them, that are designed to recover recyclable materials. And that includes precious metals, plastic and gold. I'm sorry, plastic and aluminum.
Yeah, I'm assuming gold was already classified under precious metals.
Yeah, and aluminum was already classified under metals.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing steel, plastic, glass. They reported how much of this stuff they recovered, not just from Liam. As a matter of fact, I would imagine Liam is a relatively small part of this, but because it's still in the early stages of deployment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apple is actually very unclear about this, but my feeling is that a lot of these materials were recycled in places other than Liam. So they recovered steel, plastic, glass, aluminum, copper, cobalt, nickel, lead, zinc, tin, silver, and gold. They got 6,600 pounds of gold. I'm lying. 6,600 pounds of silver.
Okay.
2,200 pounds of gold.
That's a lot of gold.
Which may or may not be 35,000 ounces, as I put it, because we're not really sure if they're using troy pounds, which I don't even know if... Yeah, troy pounds is a thing. I'm not sure. They don't say whether or not it's troy pounds or if it's a word that I'd never heard before. But a reader commented in the article and called it avoid de pont, which apparently is the name of the system where we have 16 ounces in a pound. So I don't know which. But anyway, the point is it's millions of dollars worth of gold.
That's a lot of gold.
Yeah, not much to Apple's bottom line, but it seems like it's a lot of gold. As a matter of fact, I drew the comparison to Gold Rush, TV show I love. Follows gold miners up in the Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, one year they were down in South America. I think the next season they're going to be in Arizona. Some of them will be in the Yukon. Some of them will be in the Klondike, and some of them will be in Arizona. Whatever. And the whole point, of course, is that the people that they're following were shoestringing at the beginning, think we're five seasons into it. So it was a real struggle. I didn't, you know, most of them didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, getting an ounce of gold out of the ground was like a big deal. And in the last season, spoiler, two of the teams got over 3,000 ounces. And it's like, you know, yay. And, you know, they're using, I mean, you just, the amount of work, the amount of earth that has to be moved. And by the way, they always put the land back.
Okay, good.
They strip mine. Yeah, it really bugged me. And I was pleased to see that eventually got brought up in the show. They actually have engaged in restoration efforts to restore the habitat, restore the whatever kind of terrain was there before they started mining. So anyway, they mine, they move millions of tons, I think, of earth. Could be wrong about that, but they move just enormous amounts of earth, and they get 3,000 ounces. Well, here's Apple mining 35,000 ounces, plus or minus accuracy there, from devices that are just being recycled, and they're saying that they're getting a lot of this stuff. They're getting more than they would have if they'd just done something like shredding.
Okay.
Because they're saying the shredding process can actually affect the quality of the recyclable materials. And it's just super interesting to me. The whole thing is super interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's cool to see big companies, well, in this case, Apple, putting forth the effort to really recover as much as they can in the recycling process.
Yeah, because that's material that doesn't have to be taken out of the ground again.
Right.
They can just reuse it. Now, we don't know if Apple... So, all told, by the way, they got 61 million pounds of all these materials. Now, obviously, most of it, you know, relatively little of that was gold and silver. Most of it was steel. 23 million pounds of steel, 13 million pounds of plastic, almost 12 million pounds of glass, and 4.5 million pounds of aluminum. Glass and aluminum are two of the most easily recyclable materials on the planet. Another 3 million pounds of copper. I mean, those are meaningful quantities of stuff.
Yes.
And but we don't actually know if Apple is making a profit on it.
My assumption is they are not.
I would be shocked if they were, even when you throw in the gold. That gold, by the way, let's just using my numbers, which may not be accurate, 35,000, because it could actually be more like 20,000, 24,000 troy ounces instead of 35,000 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth, I don't know, somewhere between $30 and $40 million. And it sounds like a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money to Apple. And there's no guarantee that even that kind of money pays for itself in terms of the operations. But it's still important to get this stuff and reuse it rather than putting mm-hmm. it in a landfill for future generations to eventually go and mine our landfills for.
Which, of course, is going to happen.
It eventually will happen.
Well, to a degree, collapses. It's already happening.
Yeah, that's true. There are places where that's happening. That's right. But, you know, absent civilization collapsing, it will happen. And even then, a future intelligent species on Earth might find our landfills to be useful.
Yeah, I think so. But, wow, it's really cool that Apple's doing this. I would like to see more companies doing this. And, you know, it's possible other companies are doing something very similar, but they just haven't been talking about it, or they're outside of our echo chamber, so we've missed it.
Well, Apple is leading the way on this stuff. I mean, you know, if you go through the responsibility report, you know, they're doing things like they addressed how trays that are being used from one end of a factory to another end of the factory, they changed how those trays were used. You know, they reclaim wastewater. They reclaim materials on site in a way that, that other companies aren't. You know, like companies are so keen on copying Apple. Tim Cook has joked about this a couple of times, but he's kind of not joking. He's like, he says that he wishes that these companies would, that his, their competitors would copy Apple on this stuff. And, you know, instead they, you know, try to copy their designs. And I'm with him. I wish more companies would bloody well attempt to copy Apple on this stuff and put this kind of effort. But the reality is that Apple's, because Apple actually charges a price for its products where it actually makes a profit, Apple can afford to invest in these kinds of recycling programs.
Mm-hmm.
And other companies that are all in this rush to the bottom can't do that. Yeah, this is another one of the things that we're paying for when we buy an Apple product. When we pay that comparatively higher price compared to the crap that's out there, right? This is one of the things that we're paying for, is for Apple to actually do the right thing when it comes to the environment and worker safety. And Apple is leading that charge, including leading the charge with the companies that it outsources to. Apple does things with those companies that no one else is doing.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a really good point. I think a lot of people get caught up on, well, I can go buy this generic PC that does or is as powerful or more so than an iMac. And so why would I want to spend the money on a Mac? They're just overpriced. Well, you're paying for more than just the components. You're paying for the expertise to know how they all go together in the way that gives you the product that is a Macintosh. And you're also paying for the other things that go along with that, like what happens with the computer when it's no longer usable.
Well, and that's if you take it back to Apple.
Right.
Which it doesn't just magically happen, of course. But Apple has those kinds of programs. You can actually take stuff to the Apple store to recycle it.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, try doing that to it at a Dell kiosk. LOL. What? I don't know.
We don't know what to do with that. We don't even know what to do with the ones we got behind the counter to sell.
Does it have Intel inside? Anyway.
We'd make great Dell spokespeople. We sell you a computer, herp derp.
So yeah. Anyway, I just think it's fascinating. It's a lot of gold. Oh, to finish up the gold rush thing, Apple is recovering 10 times what we celebrate a huge team of people with dozens of giant pieces of machinery getting out of the ground. And if you follow any of those gold shows, gold mining shows, that to me, it's interesting context to hear that Apple's getting 2,200 pounds of gold out of its take back programs.
Yeah. And of course, in Apple's case, they have a very targeted known space where they can work to extract the gold, as opposed to actual miners that have to use their wits and knowledge and training.
I'm not bagging on the miners by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, that's actually one of the thing I like about that show is watching these people learn how to do what they're doing, and B, overcome all the obstacles and, you know, have to engineer on the spot. All the things. There are a lot of reasons why I find those shows fascinating. And by the way, I instantly start wanting to go painting for gold as soon as I start watching them. But that's another story. The point here is not to bag on them. The point here is actually to use their experience to contrast exactly how much Apple is actually accomplishing with its efforts.
Sure.
All right. Just want to make that clear. All right. So listen, let's briefly dive into this last topic, and then we're going to end up having to go, I realize. But is the iPad Pro a laptop replacement?
I think that's a subjective thing. For me, it's getting closer to being a laptop replacement in certain situations.
Yeah, it's subjective. If by subjective you mean no. that's not true. I agree with you. I think part of my quibble here is calling it a laptop replacement, because when you say a laptop replacement, it to me there's a connotation of doing everything that the laptop does.
How about doing everything that you need to do that currently happens on a laptop?
How about changing? How about serving the purpose of doing the things that you want to do?
Okay,
and that's different than doing everything that a laptop does, because barring a toaster fridge, which Apple and Apple's fans, including us, spend a lot of time mocking.
Mm-hmm.
Even an iPad Pro, either size, and with great restraint, I will not dig at the names. They still don't do everything. They still can't do everything that a laptop does.
You know,
and yes. It shouldn't.
No, I don't want my iPad Pro to do everything my laptop does, because then I just have a laptop with a dirty screen because there's fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
However, there are many situations where my iPad is the appropriate alternative to my laptop when I'm out and about. And the exception would be if I need to podcast or if I need to do like really serious image editing. Those are two things that, because of the way my workflows work, I cannot do with an iPad Pro.
Or serious multitasking between multiple apps. And I know that there are Android apps that do that, and I know that a toaster fridge from Surface Pro from Microsoft will do that too. But it's not the same.
You know, I have found, after looking at the way I do things in a very critical way, I almost never jump between more than two programs at any given time. The exception would be when I'm recording a podcast.
Oh, I think I do frequently.
I do serial switching. And so I'll be working with two applications, and then one of those applications will change. I'm still working with two applications.
But when I'm doing, there's a lot of articles where I'm going back and forth between Mail, Safari, Photoshop, and Dreamweaver.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I get what you're saying. And we're all different. Right? All of our use cases are going to be entirely subjective to our use cases, right? You know, we all have individual needs, but okay. So first of all, one of the elephants in the room here. Are the Jeff and I are lucky. Our job allows us to have multiple devices.
Well, we're lucky, but we're also cursed, because our job requires us to have multiple devices.
That's true. It's and sometimes it is a gift and a curse. It's mostly a gift.
Mostly.
And we're lucky. We get to play with a lot of different things, and we get to sort of decide what we want. You know, we could decide. Well, Jeff could decide which of his two MacBooks he wants to take with him. At the moment, I could decide which of my two iPads, which was, you know, I'm not going to take my iPad Air. I'm going to take my iPad Pro parentheses 9.7 inch close parentheses.
Pro 9.
I can decide if I'm going to take my iPad or my MacBook Air, because I'm lucky enough to have both. And so this colors our conversations about this. When we talk about this stuff, it's coming from a world where we actually get to choose sometimes which ones we're doing. Most people don't have that choice. Most people, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who can't even afford to have one of the devices that we have.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's just here in the States, not even looking at, say, you know, the third world or emerging markets. So, I mean, you know, we're lucky. And with all that in mind, there are definitely folks for whom an iPad Pro, or maybe even an iPad Mini, But one version of the iPad Pro, another, or maybe an iPad Mini, maybe even an iPad 2, iPad Air 2, not an iPad 2, but an iPad Air 2, where that'll be more than sufficient for the for everything that they need to do. But there are still a whole lot of people that need a laptop, and I don't think an iPad Pro of either size is a replacement device for those laptops, for those people. And I don't think it ever will be.
Not in its current state. I think
it's going to be the next major disruptive paradigm shift in devices.
Yeah, my iPad Pro is a great supplement to my MacBook Pro. And it has freed me from having to take my laptop to as many events as I otherwise would. A perfect example, this last weekend, I was off doing a fun little family getaway thing, and I did it with just my iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. Whereas before the iPad Pro, even though it was a family getaway, I would have taken my MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I'm at the point where, so the last two CESs, I've only taken my iPad out of the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done all my writing, though, with my MacBook Air in the hotel room. But I did never bother to take it with me. And if I was going to go on a family outing or a trip with friends or something, I would probably only take my iPad at this point. But if I'm going to go on a work environment, I'm going to take both, so I can do my writing on my laptop and my out and about stuff on my iPad.
Yep, I totally get it.
I'm lucky enough to have both.
Yeah. And it's great that we are in a position where we can decide to take both devices.
But if I had to have only one, if some magical thing is going to force me to have only one, either a MacBook Air or an iPad Pro, parentheses 9.7 inch close parentheses, and
iPad 9,
I've got to have one or the other in my life. Period. I'm going to choose the I hate saying this. It's actually hard for me to say because I use my iPad Air so much.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can only have one, I'd have to have the Air for mobile professional use, for mobile writing, for my fiction.
Yep.
For editing, for Photoshop work, for all those things. I've gotta have that MacBook Air, even though I actually use my iPad Pro more. Isn't that interesting? I spend more time on my Pro, but if I had to have only one, I'd have to choose the Air, the iPad, the MacBook Air.
I totally get it. I spend so much time with an iPad, and yet, if I could have only one device, I would still have to have just the laptop.
All right, let us know what you think, folks. Write us at acm@macobserver.com. Alternately, you can't hit us on Twitter at Context Machine. I like that, at Context Machine. Do you see what we did there?
I totally see what we did there.
At Context Machine. And we'd love to hear from you. We always love hearing from you. We get great feedback from our listeners, and we want to hear from you.
We totally do, because you guys rock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Yeah, our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
Hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Yeah.